All right, so welcome. Welcome to Expand the Dream, the Jupiter and Neptune conjunct in Pisces. And today I'm going to be offering you all my thoughts and musings about this beautiful synod, these two incredible energies coming together in mutable water in Pisces. So I've got a little presentation for you today, and then we'll also move into the meditation towards the end as well. All right. So first up, what we are doing, the layout of this presentation is introducing you to the astrological archetypes of both Jupiter and Neptune and Pisces, and really kind of understanding the meaning behind the language that we can take from this as almost like a celestial equation. Okay. And then I'm going to dive into the themes that I've kind of pulled from this that you might have read in many other places as well, similar to Expand the Dream, as this class is called, healing the ego, transcending the mind, and really tapping into our potential of abundant compassion. So this is where we really look at our healing potential as an individual, which I will briefly touch on how you can look at your own chart. But the slides will be there for you to kind of dive a little bit deeper into that as well. But also a few exercises to do before sleeping, meditation, and energetic work that can really assist in healing through these this cycle. And then we're also going to finish with a guided meditation. That's probably the best way of tapping into this type of energy, is to access our non-rational minds and allow ourselves to kind of transcend the mind, to go into that space of like total boundless dreaming, boundless vision, and see what energy brings forward, what messages come forward, what feelings can this meditative astral space provoke for us. I want to share the sources of information and where I'm getting my education and information from. It's from my two teachers, which I'm super grateful to, Andrew Smith and Karen Morgan at the Blue Rose Astrology in Ireland. About 2 weeks ago, we did a small group of us, my peers at the Blue Rose, we did a small embodiment of this energy, which basically means we physically stood into the chart. We mapped it out on the floor and we stood into the chart so that we could physically embody, channel the energy of this signature that's playing out. And so basically what this is another way of doing astrology, of playing with astrology. And I will talk about it a little bit later in detail, but the way it went was that when you walk in, you literally are an open channel to whatever celestial body you're being called to represent in this embodiment. So for that, you know, we had some people stepping in and they became Venus and they acted and embodied the energy of Venus. Others became Moon, Pluto, Jupiter, Uranus, Neptune, and everyone, or the nodes even. People came in as different celestial bodies. And then we were able to play out, or Andrew as the witness was able to dialogue and write down the dialogue that occurred, so that we could then analyze it as astrologers as to the type of energy that potentially couldn't play out now for us as this conjunction occurs on Tuesday coming up on the 12th of April. So I'll go into that a little bit later because I really think that the findings that we had from that that embodiment was quite telling. And it's played out in my dreams since as well. I've also, I'm kind of developing my love of the Sabian symbols, which I think are, it's another way of looking at astrology, very, very different. It's all about imagery and conceptualization and deciphering information from these images that are aligned with each of the degrees. And so I'm just sharing, James Burgess is where I get my information about the Sabian symbols, and I find it just super fascinating and really on point for the information that we have this week, that today. And then I've just added my information there, so you can email me, contact me, or link in with me on Instagram as well, at 12th space. I offer cacao ceremonies, astrology consultations, and classes like this, meditations like this online, just to share my Gemini-ness of needing to share and process and assimilate all of this transcendent information, spiritual awakening, and inspiring information about astrology to help us keep moving along in this path that we're on. So this is the chart that we have. I'm going to move this down here maybe. All right, so this is the chart of the conjunction, Neptune and Jupiter joining here in Pisces, okay, at 23 degrees. And so what this is about is, if you're not familiar with astrology, no worries about it at all. It just gives you a snapshot of the imagery or the energy, like the celestial equation that we're playing with. But if you are familiar with astrology, this is for those particularly in my language of energy course, have a look at on your chart where 23 degrees Pisces lines up on your chart, okay? Because if you had your own chart mapped on here, you would place the 23 degrees of Pisces on the outside of your chart and see what it is aligning with. So it could be aligning with a particular house, an angle, or even a planet. And that's where at the end of this lecture, you'd be able to then start deciphering a little bit more of the energy that's at play for you personally. This class is going to focus a little bit more on the collective energy that we obviously all personally are attached to, but it's very much more the overall collective. This is a very large cycle. It's not just a short one. Do you know what I mean? So that's just to give you an idea of where 23 degrees Pisces is occurring. Beautiful energy happening. We've also got Venus that's just moved into Pisces as well. So we have this lovely Piscean energy playing out for us here. And this chart is based from Dublin. So that's where the houses are going to work for me here. All right. So firstly, let's just talk a little bit about the astrology of the Jupiter and Neptune piece. When we look at it, we're talking about two energetic signatures, Jupiter, a social planet, and Neptune, a transpersonal planet, and they are joining, coming together in Pisces, mutable water. Okay, so we're just going to break that down over the next few slides so that you start to see how, because I can share all of my languaging and interpretations, but these might conjure up different feelings for you or play out in your daily life. And then these themes, you can tie back into this energy, the Jupiter-Neptune piece in Pisces. So firstly, the reason why this is such a big event, and I've spoken about this since kind of the beginning of the year, that this Jupiter is having a wonderful year this year. And it's kind of our comfort blanket for the entire year, particularly as we've had a rough shifting and kind of hard 2 years, and potentially we move back into some more harder transits in the next 3 years or so. And so having Jupiter here this year is in Pisces is a nice natural place. It's the traditional ruler of Pisces. And so it has kind of a comforting feeling when it's in the sign of its traditional rulership. And then when it aligns with Neptune, its conjunction on the 12th of April, so that's coming up on Tuesday this year, they join every year, okay? Every 13 years, but the conjunction in Pisces has not happened since 1856, okay? So like 166 years ago was when this last occurred. And so that's why it's quite a big theme. It's a big energy to play out, particularly given what we're going through collectively, okay? I don't think I need to spell that out. Pandemic, total change of systems going on all around, not just socially, not just politically through the government, not just in the medical system, not just in the educational system. All systems are going through a rebirthing of some kind. And our collective consciousness is witnessing, playing out in this wonderful turbulent ocean that we are enjoying going through at the moment. But all, most of that other play is happening in more of an Aquarian vibe. Aquarian and you know, I suppose it all started in the Capricorn energy 2 years ago. But this Pisces energy, Jupiter, Neptune in Pisces, there's something really capturing and draws us deep into this kind of cocoon, womb-like space that while we're in the midst of massive change and kind of hardship in a way, this is a beautiful place to go to. So it's kind of one that we really want to focus on the uplifting side of this energy that's playing out. So Jupiter makes its cycle around the entire zodiac, one sign per year. So about every 12 to 13 years, it goes through the entire chart, the entire zodiac signs. Neptune, on the other hand, takes 14 years in each sign. So really slow moving. You can understand that's why it's one of the transpersonal slow moving planets. It gives more of a generational vibe because it stays for 14 years in each sign. Okay, so this is why, even though they do align, so say the last time they aligned in Aquarius, God, what was it, 1997, I think it was. You can check it out, but that was the last time it happened, but it was in Aquarius. We're looking at this as we're going back to when the last time its cycle was in Pisces, okay? This is why I'm really honing in on the Piscean energy, because of the Sabian symbol, like I said, the imagery, which is this artwork here, that aligns with the, it's 24 degrees Pisces because it's 23.58 minutes, okay? So you go into the next degree, which is 24. And the imagery that came from someone who channeled this information is the isolated inhabited island, okay? And so a few different meanings of this is the tiny island seems lost in the broad ocean, but its own happy inhabitants have created a world all of their own. And so I really feel like this ties in with what I want to share today, particularly in line with the energy of Lemuria, some other aspects that draw upon some of the other myths that I love to share as well. And so we just dissect the Sabian symbol or the image as well. The image, they don't conjure too much, really, as in they're not like modern day kind of visuals and stuff like this, but have an idea of, or get a picture in your mind of this broad, vast ocean, just water for miles and miles, but you've got this tiny island with inhabitants completely content or making do, coexisting, living together on this island. And so what does that bring up for you? What are the thoughts that initially come to mind when you think about an island in the middle of the ocean, living, coexisting together? Instantly, you've got to work together. You've got to have heart and compassion for your family, for your community. There has to be compromise in some way, shape, or form. If you're stuck on an island with literally nowhere else to go, there gets to a point where ego dissolves and you enter into a space where there's overlap. There's trust in another person. There is a release and a surrender of something that you're attached to so that it can benefit the collective, the group that's living on this island. And so if I dissect the themes initially from these elements, we've got to expand the dream. That's the Jupiter and Neptune piece. Jupiter is all about expansion. Neptune is all about dreaming. Heal the ego. When we fall into that Piscean energy, it's totally about transcending the ego, transcending attachments, and seeing ourselves as an identity that can assist the all, the collective, okay? So that's the all and the I am the all, or, and I thought that was, there was a play of like words of like the island and then all inhabitants creating this beautiful world together. It's like this solitary land that has many living on it, okay? And so I played with that in my head and came out with this kind of, we are one collective force. We are an energetic pool. And then we've got all of us as little droplets in this magical ocean. And so we start to see how our energies all pool together and cohabitate and create this harmonic, beautiful place. Even though sometimes it may feel lonely, there's also an aspect of totally connected, which is very Piscean. Abundant compassion and the ability to cohabitate. I've kind of talked about that when it comes to the island Sabian symbol. And awakening consciousness. The awakening consciousness theme comes through the piece that Jupiter is all about, the vision, the mind, the expansion of the higher mind. And then awakening, the consciousness of the Neptune piece is often the Neptune piece is like transcending beyond our reality, entering into that idyllic, dreamy space. But is it dreamy or are they in that awakened space that are seeing something beyond the veil? And so we start to play with this idea of we need to broaden our minds to awaken to a transcended state that allows our consciousness to really evolve and stretch between the veils. So this is really where we're getting into. There were one or two, I'm just gonna read from another piece here. I think it was Rudyard that said that they, in this Sabian symbol, when he dissected the Sabian symbol, using conflict as a means to learn compassionate acceptance, taking the idea of people living on an island, surely there gets to a point where it's like, I want to live here. Oh, I also want to live here. Okay, well, there is a conflict of interest because there's more than one person. And so it's not to say that the conflict of interest is negative, but inevitably there gets to a point that through meeting with another person, you end up having to find acceptance, resolve issues. And so pairing that with where we're at the moment, there is conflict going on in our psyche. There's conflict going on in our political, social, and other stages around the globe that need to tap into this type of energy that we have at play. And so this is where we start to see that this energy is the balm, is the healing balm that we need as we heal and evolve through these times. So if we start to break it down to, oh yeah, this, I thought this image was really cool. So this is a space mandala of Jupiter and Neptune doing their thing, doing their dance, their celestial dance around the sun, made by astrological mandalas. And so I thought it was really interesting to see the 13-pointed star arising out of this. So the 13-pointed star creates quite a beautiful image for us to kind of have imprinted on our mind, whether it's a mandala that you gaze at while you meditate, which I highly recommend to do. It also conjures up the idea of this star consciousness that I want to talk about in relation to the Blue Rose embodiment that we did. As star consciousness came through in that embodiment and offered huge healing for our collective hearts. So I think the star imagery is really important here. The angelic realms, so accessing these higher dimensions, the watchers, those that offer great healing assistance. This all comes from this star realm, this higher transcendent realm, the higher mind, whether it's through belief or an ideology, or whether it's through the capacity of the Neptune piece, which is the higher heart's capacity to transcend beyond. Lemuria, that's the biggest theme that I want to really capture in today's theme. Healing vibrations and the myth and the meaning. I think storytelling has a lot to play during these cycles, whether that's storytelling, myth, listening to stories, listening to music, listening to lyrics, and good lyrics. This can really be telling of the energy that's playing out. Listen to the lyrics that are coming out. through the musicians that are creating great music at the moment, because they are the muses, they are the creatives that are so tuned in to a different frequency, and they are offering that energy through song, through their lyrics, through their compositions that come out. And so it is interesting then if you have more modern day music coming forward, and what is the lyrics, what is the message that's coming through that, because it's going to be highly influential, it's going to impact us that listens to the music. And so I would also, that's why I say listen to good lyrics, understand that the music composition that you're listening to, the lyrics and the words, the stories that you're infusing in your consciousness, is going to be very influential at the moment on your energy and on how this energy plays out for you. Which goes without saying, obviously, then when we look at the media and how they're able to pull a fast one by bombarding us with different stories, because we're so easily altered in this current time with Neptune and Jupiter in Pisces. This is the time where it's easy to just to pull the veil over someone's eyes, to lie, tell stories, to create beautiful creations. But are they for our benefit, or are they just for some dreamy escape? Or are they totally to entrap and remove you from really tapping into the potential that you have within yourself? So let's break into Pisces. Pisces is mutable water, the exchanging heart. Okay, it's the fishes, the two fish. You can see the glyph here, kind of looks like a H. It's the 12th sign of the zodiac. It connects in with the feet and the lymphatic system. So if we think about it, it's the grounding piece that our bodies connect to in order to tune in to the energy that we're living in, that we're existing in through the feet, through the reflex points. The lymphatic system is this total movement of our fluid within our systems as well. So this constant exchange, it ties in with our cellular connection, our cellular memory, our cells, our capacity to absorb water, memory, emotion. Like this also plays in with your cellular memory, which is also tied in with your emotions. Obviously this plays in with the womb, with our waters within our self, within our cells, within our DNA as well. The memory that's encoded in the DNA from womb time, from your own mother's womb, it's all encoded with DNA, with emotional intelligence that you are infused in the womb, in that watery cocoon. And once you're birthed out of that, there's some strange memory that's still there as a very young child. But at the same time, there has to be something that's evolving from that space that you move on from. And so this is where the Pisces energy can really tie in with the rose-tinted view, the utopia and the idealistic interpretations as well, because it can be something that's like, did that happen? Or it's a faint memory, or it's a beautiful dream, but was it real? Because it's something that we don't fully grasp, yet at the same time, we have an idea about. It's the ocean. As I said before, we are the ocean. We are the ocean, we are the droplets within the ocean of all consciousness, but also connecting into the water, the dolphins in the water, the fish in the water. It has this big play of this exchanging watery energy. Memory, as I said, remembering, coming back into remembering pre-birth. There are a lot of people who tune into Piscean energy by doing rebirthing experiences, which is deep hypnosis and hypnagogic meditation, where you're drawing yourself into the deep, deep parts of your psyche to tune into previous life memories, womb memories, consciousness that you've brought through in your cellular coding that are here for you to play out now. But also this can be a very confusing state because it's something so intangible and so far from practical or logical that it's one of those places that you have to just trust and surrender into, or end up kind of fuddling around in a puddle of confusion. That can be Pisces. It can be filled with dreams and creative energy and visionary, this artistic flair, music, all of these incredible forms of just creative display. But it can also be a place of escapism as well, that we escape into entertainment, whether that's through books, music, movies, anything like this, or our imagination, any type of creative outlet. Is it used because it's something that needs to come out and this heart exchanging part process? Or is it because there's something so heavily overwhelming us that we need to numb ourselves out and escape? And so that's the two sides of this Piscean energy. It can have a beautiful uplifting space, but it can equally be the detrimental side of trying to run away and get away from the overwhelming vastness of basically all that we are. It's not something that we, on an everyday basis, take into account, because it would be too challenging for us to fuse all that we are with the way our societies are set up and the way we're constantly being conditioned to be here. So, and I'm saying it like this for a reason. It ties in with the Lemurian type of energy that we can connect with. This is this ancient civilization, ancient future civilization, that offers us the memory of how to live in harmony of all that we are. The Piscean energy, if you have Pisces sun, ascendant, moon, or a strong amount of Piscean energy in your chart, or you know any Piscean creatures in your family or friends, you'll know that they're very sensitive. They're very empathetic. It's because they literally have the capacity to tune into the collective ocean of all things that's going on, particularly emotion, but memory, feeling, vibe, this subtle force that exists within all of us. It's impossible to put a boundary on a Piscean type of energy. I'm sure you've seen memes where you've got like people pegging these little, you know, little pegs into the shoreline, trying to put up their boundary, their wall, and here's the shore just washing over the pegs, because you literally, that's what a boundary is to a Piscean person. It's kind of non-existent. They try as much as they can, but they also cannot escape the vast amount of connection that's always going to be exchanging. And so therefore, that's why any type of energetic work, strengthening a highly sensitive person, and it doesn't have to be Pisces, you know, I'm talking to those that are on my course in particular, any type of watery energy is going to feel this highly sensitive, empathetic type of way. And so energetic work, as long as you're working with this exchanging heart, it actually ends up working for you. And then you become aware of your lacking of boundaries and you work with that. You give yourself time to recharge. You give yourself that time to process the emotions so that then you can get back into sharing from a full heart, a full cup, rather than a depleted one. And again, some of the more depleting energies of it would be this illusion, delusion, neglect, and kind of totally forgotten essence. This is a big one for me. I find ancient civilization fascinating. And I kind of go, why is this something that has been forgotten? Why is this something that has been just dismissed as myth and, you know, fantasy stories? Yet at the same time, there are so many incredible geologists, zoologists, scientists, even just channels that are coming up with really good evidence to say we are more than what we've been told. So why is there a huge amount of our memory, this amnesia vibe? Why do we have so much of this? Why is it something that kind of plagues our collective consciousness? And a lot of philosophers or spiritual teachers will talk about the sense of amnesia, that when we come here to be in this third dimension reality, we do have this sense of total forgetting of what we are. Why? That's my question. Why do we have that? Why can't we remember? Why would we not want to remember all that we are and bring that into play here now? And so that's kind of my big theme that I want to share with you. But of course, I suppose the very first answer to that question is overwhelm. that people don't want to think of all of that, because it kind of takes them away from the other things that could be going on, or the responsibilities, or the smaller compartments that they have created to get through the everyday, the mundane. That's why Pisces can often just float away with these lofty ideas, because they are a little bit too difficult to peg down and make tangible. So when we start to apply Jupiter and Neptune into that energy, Jupiter is abundant, joyful, growth, and expanse. It's all about this quest and adventure, needing to open up the minds and venture into different dimensions, but also gain wisdom, expand the philosophical thinking about it that maybe alters the belief system so that it can offer faith, belief, hope, which is encouraging, provides opportunity for growth. It opens up how the mind can then continue to exist. If we didn't have that, and we only had Saturn, that's its tag mate there, Saturn is very restrictive and closes things down and kind of says, no, this is the limitation, you're going to work hard and achieve this, and it's one step at a time. And it kind of closes things off. It creates limits and responsibilities and challenges. Jupiter then is the total opposite, and it's like, oh, let's go big. Let's see where that takes us. And without that, the two work really well together, because both are needed in order to evolve. Okay, these are social planets. They are offering us modes of consciousness to keep moving, keep growing. Jupiter has got that generosity, that abundant force that can play out. Some of the things that came up for me when I was diving into the study for this with the Blue Rose a few weeks ago was to look at the different myths that are aligned with Jupiter and Neptune. And the ones that came up for me, Jupiter is always considered the breath of life, because it's very kind of the higher mind, the divine mind aspect. It's the sky god, it's Zeus. If you know mythology, you know that Zeus is the sky god that came in, and he was the god that kind of offered you something because you did it, like in the myths, that you did a good job, so you were given something because you did a good job. Or once you connected in with Zeus, he was able to offer a bountiful gifts, So it was considered this kind of giving god, but at the same time, I kind of broke it down a little bit. I went down a few rabbit holes and some different podcasts that came about, and they were linking. Funnily enough, they weren't talking about astrology, but they were linking in these myths. And sharing that even though Zeus and Jupiter, they have this very, and it's the same, Shiva comes across as the Hindu equivalent as well. They come across as these like great gods, but they also are ones that kind of, they have a meet, like you have to, it's conditional. Do you know what I mean? Like you have to do something in order to get it. And they're holding all of it, and then you get a little bit of it. So there's this strange, complex with the Jupiter energy, but at the same time, it's still very giving. So it's to play in with that, to lean into that energy. In Mesopotamia and Babylonian times, you're linking in with different myths and stories from the Anunnaki, either Enlil and Anu coming in with kind of, they were tying in some links with Jupiter energy there, or this kind of brother-like energy between Neptune and Jupiter, Yahweh and Yeshua, Enlil and Ea. So that's how the Jupiter energy, I'm going to pair it with Neptune as well and bridge back into this. So with the Neptune piece, Neptune is unconditional love, transcendence, compassion, total acceptance. It's our higher heart. As I've mentioned already, it's funnily enough, I don't know if I mentioned, both Jupiter and Neptune are the rulers of Pisces. Okay, so in case you didn't know that, Neptune is the modern day ruler of Pisces, and Jupiter would be the traditional ruler. So they all have a theme similar wrapped in there, okay? Because you know from the course that the rulership, it's adding extra language to the energy, okay? They're not the exact same thing, but it's like they add an additional quality to how you can language the type of celestial equation that we're decoding. So the Neptune piece, you can really see a lot of the themes overlap with the Piscean energy. You have this savior, victim, you know, the empath, the martyr quality, because they feel so much, yet at the same time, they can come in and be the most compassionate healer, offer this huge amount of vision, creative function that transcends something that could be dragging you down or them down. It can be kind of chaotic. It's definitely untethered and ungrounded type of force. It's dreamy. It's utopic or idealistic. And it has this, not just magic as an alchemical magic, it's like pure magic, something that really holds a high vibration, very angelic to an extent, that there is this transcendent state that that exists, and Neptune totally aligns with it. It's fully involved in that type of energy. And this is where the same things come out, where it's like the escapism, the addict energy. So a lot of people, a lot of kind of mundane astrologers would align where your Neptune is where your addictions are going to lie. Yeah, only because if that's the case, it's because your Neptune is playing out in lower vibrations rather than attaining its higher peace. It's also where it's easier to numb out rather than transcend. But again, as you know, from the way I work with languaging of energy, it's you can fall into both categories of the depleting form of this energy, or you can work with it to evolve into the higher uplifting forms of this type of energy. It can be our sleep state. And I don't just mean when we're actually physically sleeping and dreaming, but also our unconscious state, where we choose subconsciously to just not engage. So this sleep state of just like, oh, don't want to go there. I'm going to just shut that bit down. And even though that's me like consciously saying that, some people are consciously saying, I don't want to know about that. But there's also a big subconscious part of people that are just like, I can't go there. And that is their consciousness going, haven't reached that state of opening up to understanding and being able to emotionally cope with how I can unpackage expanding my consciousness, expanding my awareness. And that's a really challenging thing. And I think those that have worked with me before and understand either shadow work or doing any sort of work on yourself, healing yourself on an energetic level, it's not like for the faint-hearted. You're unpackaging like big emotional patterns. You're having to realign your perceptions, your languaging of yourself, your physical habits. These are like, it's effort. And most people nowadays, it's like, I want instant, I want ease. And so Neptune then comes in and goes, ooh, I can't go there, and just numbs out a bit. On the other side, it is the awakened transcendent state. So this is the one that we really want to focus on. Bring this transcendent awakened force to the foreground when we tune in with this Jupiter-Neptune piece. In relation to Jupiter being the god of the sky, then we've got Neptune, Poseidon, and Vishnu playing out as the water of life, the water god, Ea or Enki, as the Mesopotamia, Babylonian, Mesopotamian myths and stories that go along with that. And then aligning with more biblical texts would be the Yeshua piece rather than the Yahweh. And so now you've got these two characters that have played out heavily through many, many different myths and stories that go from both Roman, Egyptian, Roman, Greek mythology, Hindu. I didn't add any Buddhist connection, but there are the Mesopotamian myths, stories, and then also into biblical text. And so you're really starting to see how two characters, which is what astrology always is two main characters that are in our collective narrative. And so how they play out, whether they act as brothers, being very kind, offering both equal amounts of what they have as their bounty, or whether they act as a jewel and they come together and one is there to destroy the other, and the other is there to pick up the pieces and enlighten or offer comfort. And if you look at the myths around Vishnu and Shiva, Vishnu being the more Neptunian piece, he's coming in to awaken, to offer this god of abundance that's here to enlighten and transcend the heart, whereas the Shiva god is coming in to kind of destroy and offer chaos that is equally providing new growth. So you can look at it in so many different ways. And this is obviously the rabbit hole that can lead in many, many different directions. But because I was pulling up information on both of these, I said, okay, they are working together this time. They're conjoining together in Pisces. So what are they offering? They are offering this piece of coming together and saying, right, we have our differences. I'm of the sky and you're of the water. Learn the lesson and I'll provide for you and offer opportunity. Whereas the other is like, well, I'm just going to open up your heart and allow you to transcend regardless. You know, it's unconditional. And so you look at both of these coming together and kind of saying, all right, this is where we're at ourselves. There's so many people wanting to open up and remember and feel this total transcendence of union. And at the same time, there's also a huge amount of ourselves, our own psyche, kind of going, oh, God, how does that work? How can I mentally comprehend that? How can I align that with all that I've learned so far and how my society is? So we have both of these scripts working out within ourselves. This isn't something you can just project into, oh, well, it's the way the world is. These are things that we can really draw into ourselves and kind of say, oh, okay, I can work with. Where's my head at? Where's my heart at? Let's work together and birth this new dream. And so that was a big, big thing that came up for, I'll talk about Lemuria first, and then I'll go back to expanding the dream that we talked about in the Blue Rose. So with Lemuria, these two are our book covers from the authors. I've written their names there below the imagery. But again, what I thought was so interesting about both of these images was it aligns so nicely with the Sabian symbol of this inhabited island, this isolated island in the middle of nowhere. Is it an idyllic island? What happens on this piece of land where it does not matter what goes on elsewhere. You're just really focused on what's going on in your home. And so when we connect into this thought, this concept of Lemuria, this ancient civilization, and I always like to say ancient future civilization, because it's also coming. It's coming back into our memories. Is it something we are recreating? This time illusion of, is it an old memory or is it something that we've always been coming into evolution to? Dropping that there for you to play with. but when I looked back to, obviously Lemuria is something that is like predating current known civilization. Like it goes, they say that it goes before Egyptian times. So anything that we have any type of like actual record of, yet at the same time, there are people, scientists who have found various recordings. Their information isn't as loud and certainly isn't mainstream. But I went looking to see when was the first time that we had Lemuria mentioned in our, you know, kind of modern day records. And Philip Sclater was a zoologist, and he was studying some findings near Madagascar. And he was one of the first to kind of bring it into modern day literature and research, just 10 years after the last time Jupiter and Neptune conjoined in 1856. And so I found this just enthralling, okay? Because since then, it's exponentially grown. There have been many authors, people channeling, many other scientists saying, yes, there is reason to believe that there is a lost part of land that once upon a time, there was a civilization that existed there. To counterbalance that, it could be something that is just part of our memory is lost. Part of our understanding, part of our capacity to join those dots is not fully absorbed within ourselves yet, okay? Or it's true, it's like physically evident that we haven't been able to remember that under or comprehend that possibility of a civilization living then, okay? The way I see this is, though, our higher heart yearns for this type of remembrance. It yearns to know that once upon a time, or potentially in the future, we have the capacity to have this compassionate union and live out this utopic dream in harmony, that we can evolve into a space of living in harmony. There is a big part of ourselves that desires that yearns for that. And I don't know, if you ask anyone, even if they don't follow this, surely that idea of wanting peace exists in all of us. And so I think if we just like really break it down to the basics, we're tapping in to let's rebirth this idea of peace. Whether you tie it into the stories of Lemuria, whether you link it with myth, whether you want to just say, oh, well, it's happening because of the celestial play. We all want peace. We want union. We want to find that space within ourselves where our heart can go, I'm at peace. I can transcend what's going on, what I'm living through. And I can live with this beautiful view of all that's around me, compassionately sharing from an abundant place within because my cup is never empty. Yes, it sounds idyllic, but it's a desire, right? It's something that we are yearning for, to bring into consciousness, to bring in and ground in as a reality that we can live through. And so this is what this energetic synod is playing out. This pairing of Jupiter and Neptune is playing out is this type of energy. And then this quote by the Lemurians, when you look at the divinity inside of you, it changes what you see outside of you. And so this is one of the greatest healing principles and teachings that goes on through all different schools, would be to really find that light within yourself, that namaste piece where you say, oh, thank you, to greet you and say, thank you. The light that I see in you is reflecting the light I have in myself because I have found that light in myself by connecting with you. There's not a lack. There is this abundant charge of I've seen me in you. I see you in me. That total union, that's a merging of consciousness, remembering itself and going, I've remembered. My heart is awakened. That is the essence of a Lemurian, Pleiadian, Christ consciousness, star consciousness, all these other myths, all these other teachings, spiritual Buddhist, all these other different teachings. Honestly, bring it back. What is it that they're teaching? A union of heart, a union of dissolving the veils that create segregation and division, separation. That is what this energy is teaching us. We are literally getting the opportunity to live through a reseeding of this energy. I think that's pretty huge. So what can we do with that energy? We open up to trust, okay? We really have to do our own work on opening up into trusting. Yes, we're creating boundaries that provide us with, as we said, we're still in that space of like, oh, how do I incorporate all of this idyllic heart opening into what I live through? And how do I bring the two together? How do I dissolve one? Because we are collectively dissolving big systems. How do I dissolve that, incorporate it into what I'm dreaming, into manifestation, bringing into heart, and then bring into reality? You have to trust. You have to surrender to trust. You have to have the faith, Jupiter. You have to have the vision, the creative insight to see beyond what's going on, to not get so bogged down that you're immobile, that you're numb, that you've got this state of inertia and overwhelm that literally enables you from being in your heart. We're all experiencing moments of that, and that's okay. But to remember that, that is what we're going through. This is the opportunity to lean into these moments of overwhelm, inertia, and removal from that centered space, that compassionate, heart-centered space. You have to kind of say, okay, how can I bring myself back into that space? How can I fill my cup up so that I am constantly providing more abundance within myself and within my connections to others? Let's go back to the image of the Sabian symbol, this island in the middle of nowhere. There could be chaos going on some other island somewhere else. Let's just hypothetically add to this. But nothing's going to go on there. It's not going to impact the inhabitants on this little island in the middle of the ocean. They can do nothing about it. They're so far away, they have no way of getting to that other island. They have to focus on cooperation, cohabitation, and compassionate living on their island where they're at. So this is bringing us into the now. Bring yourself into the now and deal with what you have now. Sometimes it's best to just kind of say, right, I need to focus on my today, my immediate, my responsibilities. Of course, they envelop an umbrella out into various other schedules and things like that. But you have to start focusing on yourself to develop this seed of the dream. Because if we're constantly trying to like put it out there and save humanity and everything is this big, 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 because this is Jupiter speaking. Jupiter's like, boom, let's go big. It's like, yes, let's go big, but let's start small. We're in the very seeding stage of this pairing. And to go back to the astrology of it, if you know your moon cycles, you know that there's a dark moon, new moon phase. If we were to, and that happens every like 28 days. So there's like a 3-day dark moon phase, which is all about like going inside and really figuring it out. And you plant the seed in the dark and you just have to trust that it's been planted. Well, if we apply the math of the cycle, it's basically it's the same. It's the same idea that all planets go through a cyclical system like the moon. We apply that timing to the 166 year cycle. We're talking about a year up to this conjunction and about a year after. So we have been in, over the last year and a bit, we have been in this dark moon phase of like everything just closing. And now we've got plant the seed. We're in about a year and a bit of trust. But in order to trust, we've got to go in. We've got to just allow ourselves to go into that space of building this heart-centered space of compassionate giving, of compassionate living, of cohabitation with the idea of transcendence. So I've just put a few different, these were some of my questions that I posed with my Blue Rose teachers, with Andrew, where I was kind of going, if we are one consciousness, if we are like, to remove the identity, to remove the ego and kind of say, right, we are one consciousness. And we're here to evolve, to figure ourselves out, to basically self-realize what we have created as a consciousness. Then why would we choose to put ourselves to sleep? Why would we dream all of this into existence only to then come about and realize it all over again? Very Piscean themes, I know. I'm a 12th houser, so this is my scene. But really, if light is trying to evolve to a state of self-realization, why would there be dark agendas? Why would there be this concept of energies or entities coming in to shut this down, to shut down consciousness, to inhibit spiritual evolution? And so I played with that rather than kind of going, oh yeah, I can see it. I can see what's playing out. All the conspiracy theories, all these things that are at play. You can see it. Everyone's talking about it. It's like, oh yeah, there's the dark agenda and all of that sort of thing. It's like, oh right. So we just have to focus on the light agenda. It just didn't sit with me. Because I was kind of going, this is so weird. We're creating like a further division of like the light agenda and the dark agenda. And we got to go at loggerheads in order to like get through this. Okay, so I sat with him and I said, all right, this like sense of going asleep just before the moment of awakening, there is that kind of strange disorientation of kind of going, what happened? What's going on? And so in one way, maybe we say, right, we're on that like dawning. Or even if you look at the Kali Yuga, we're in that dark time where we're about to exit and evolve collectively on a big, big, big cycle. And so we're at that time where instead of pointing the finger, I'm like, oh, there's so much negativity out there trying to prevent us from getting there. It's like, no, let's dissolve that idea of like, there's someone against us, or there's a collective that is trying to suppress us. I'm not saying there is not, or there is. I'm just saying, let's work on that narrative, because it's big. It's big in the spiritual circles as well, that, you know, there is this darkness trying to control and take over and shut down, and that they are also aware of these cycles and utilizing them to their benefit by programming our collective to not remember. Maybe. I know some people that really believe that there are, you know, whether it's government or people within high society that know, that fully are using astrology to understand what's at play, and are able to use it to their advantage to prevent mass awakening. I would come from another way of looking at it and say, why? Surely we're all the same. So then why prevent ourselves from awakening? So stop that narrative and say, right, we are awakening, but we're in that cusp, that just before the dawn, where we're kind of gathering our thoughts from sleep and kind of going, ooh, where was that dream taking me? And it's all a bit kind of discombobulated. And instead of projecting negativity or feeling distrust or fear, kind of say, wow, that's taken me to there, and adding more awe, the Neptunian piece, adding more of the hopeful piece from Jupiter and saying, let's take that with us so that we can awaken into this dream, into the dawning of this big transcendent awakening, and allow ourselves to really feel more abundant rather than I should hold on to that because someone might take it away from me. Anyway, I thought I would just share that because it's been something that's kind of played with me that hasn't sat with me through some of the other collective narratives that are out there. I think that's kind of what I was getting to with this slide. Then another thing I thought I would share was a dream share that I had the other night. Dreams have been super intense. Those of you that have done the Chiron piece with me last week, and then this, I've been sitting with this energy now for almost 3 weeks since I did it back in Ireland. So dreams have been wild. It's entering into that lucid dream state and being able to, I feel like as if I'm just going from one reality into another and then just working there just as much as I'm physically working as a mother here. and so it becomes this funny play of where you're, what are you learning in both sides, both dimensions, okay? We're learning, we're devoting, well, I'm a mother, my time is devoted to my children, and whatever it is, your work or your passions, you are devoting time in the physical reality. And then when you enter into dream state, you are also devoting your energy to this transcendent, emotional, heightened state of transcendence, and where your energy is looking and seeking to, yearning to evolve to. The other evening I had a dream, excuse me. The other evening I had a dream that was, I'm a lucid dreamer. I become very conscious in dream state, not always, but when I do, I know the energy. And so this particular one was quite weird. There was a few presences that, or entities that were quite physically pressing against my body or grabbing or holding, not in a really aggressive way, okay? But it was like all of a sudden I had pressure coming from my back. Again, instead of holding my son's hand, all of a sudden I looked down and someone else was kind of grabbing my hand, and the same on the other side. So all of a sudden this strange pressure was coming in through this dream space. And there was no way that I could combatively, like super ninja when it comes to dream space, and I have great moves, but I couldn't. Anytime I went to like elbow whoever was on my back, or like karate chop someone on my side, or kick something else, it was like as if I was just, I was hitting something, but it made no impact. The faces, I see faces and eyes like super clear when it comes to dream time, and their faces just stayed like unmoved, no expression, just. So I was like whacking, ninja punching, all this sort of stuff on them, and their face just stayed there. And so I was kind of going, right, this is really unusual. Normally in my lucid dreams, if I suddenly recognize an entity, there's this kind of like, boom, like a paranoia of recognizing on that dimensional state. Again, it's of my own consciousness. If you understand dream state, you understand it's yourself working through your own subconsciousness. But anyway, these ones were totally like not responding. Very physical, all men, okay? In reflection, the dream obviously went very fast, but I'm adding my reflection in on top of this as well. In reflection, this ties in with my time with the Blue Rose, where we did the embodiment, where 9 of us participated in the embodiment. And not one person ended up, like you're intuitively guided as to who or what you end up channeling. And not one person embodied the sun or Mars, the typical male archetypes of our chart, of our collective chart. And so again, I found it very interesting that, you know, in the embodiment process, there was no masculine identity. There was no consciousness in the masculine. Here I am in dream state, and these male figures are lifeless. They're present, but they're lifeless. There's no consciousness in them. And so that was the first piece that I correlated with that there was this slight, like just lifelessness there, but a heaviness, a force nonetheless, but it was just not engaging. Anyway, so I'll go back to in the dream. How I work with lucid dreaming is I went straight into processing it, calling in my angels. I co-sleep with my one-year-old, so instantly it was sending him angelic light and protecting him out of this energetic scenario. Calling in my own angels, Archangel Michael would be the one that I would often work with, particularly when lucid dreams become I suppose combative or any sort of like thing where I'm going to go, this is unusual. I would often call in Archangel Michael just to assist in the sense of protection that I can use on that level. And so called in Archangel Michael, a channel that comes through me. It's like a protective shield. I use it with those who do ceremony with me. You know that this is the type of energy to call in. It's the method I use. It's calling in this energy, and instantly, you know, Archangel Michael was there along with a band of other angels. And what they shared with me was a method of moving through this particular situation. And so there was never, like I said, no aggression, no fear, and no, there was never any massive conflict, but it was a presence that just was not going away and was kind of pushing, you know, there was definitely a force, but it wasn't that like horrible. Nevertheless, it was something I definitely wanted to move on out of my consciousness, out of my field. From my channel space, the angels then showed me to call in a particular light, you know, star consciousness light. And it came right through the channel, all the way down through me, through all that we were connected in. But it then also came out, I thought this image kind of represented what I saw, came out then through the heart. And it was almost like as if all these rays of light shot out. And they shot out and pierced through the heart of these particular entities that had been kind of pressing in on me. And it went through like up and through the heart and then lifted them up. And it was for that moment that the light pierced through their heart that suddenly there was this sense of relief or bliss. And they almost smiled in that release. It was not a, you're pierced with light and you're done. It wasn't done in a negative way. It was like, they were liberated. They were freed. They were given an access point through this angelic ray of light to ascend, to lift up, and to be released from a heavy, unconscious state. And so if you take all of that wording and apply it to our collective consciousness, which is in reflection how the Blue Rose, how we kind of tied that in with our embodiment experience, was that our masculine or yang consciousness, Sun and Mars and Jupiter to an extent, they weren't online. They weren't in the embodiment, okay? So there was this element of, and Sun has just gone through its conjunction with Chiron. So it's this wounded consciousness that's playing out for us at the moment. And at the same time, Jupiter and Neptune are aligning. So we've got this this script of our wounded consciousness calling upon an opportunity to transcend from the heart space, this abundant opening to elevate ourselves from a non-conscious state, okay? Now, if I get into some of the other things that we did with the Blue Rose, Spica, which was a fixed star, became present in our embodiment. I ended up embodying Spica, the star. I had no idea. Embodiment goes that you don't choose an energy. You move into a space on the chart and you act out that energy. So I had no idea what I was acting out, but in reflection, obviously Andrew was able to tell us who we each were. And so from Spica's perception, from my perception when I did the embodiment, this energetic quality came in and it was huge, okay? You're talking about star consciousness, which is outside of our solar system, okay? Coming into this solar system, so activating through, it is currently opposite our Sun and Chiron, okay? So it's this star consciousness is playing out to awaken our solar system's consciousness. If you're still with me on that. And so an outside star consciousness, Christ consciousness, elevated type of consciousness comes in to activate what's currently not engaged. Our Sun was not engaged in this embodiment. And what it offered was, there was a huge amount of telepathic communication, particularly in with Venus. Venus Spica ended up healing Venus, which is symbolic of our collective heart, okay? The heart that embodies into our life, what we value, what we desire, how we allow our spirit to evolve in this manifested form. And so Spica, this fixed star, energetically healing Venus, the heart, offering a transcendent rainbow light. So again, the Chiron piece coming out through the third eye and the voice, allowing for perception and activation of the voice that speaks of a dream, that speaks of a higher transcendent state. And this brought tremendous healing to our Mercury in this embodiment that allowed the channel that we all are to really be cleared, to be able to speak from a beautiful harmonic space of new perception, okay? It also then, in this embodiment piece, brought in a connection to Saturn. Saturn then was held by this star consciousness that knew. It had a great wisdom deep within the bones, which is so Saturn, deep within the bones. It held this full on knowing of, I know the resonance of this frequency. I remember this. And this new form of consciousness came in and was held in this vibration that became the new structure, again, Saturn, that became this new structure, providing the voice, the space for Mercury to really uplift and to awaken. So that becomes our perception. The reason why I'm sharing it like this is because this is the type of energy we are tuning into. And so we're looking at this telepathic remembrance, total recall of something that we deeply know from our heart space, and allowing it to move us into a space of greater alignment, to awaken our hearts and to just hold the vision. Okay, there's a great resonance of just, I got this. I know what I'm doing here. And that's the trust, that's open to the trust. Know that it's not through force, as I go back to my dream, it's not through like some sort of force and pressure or anything like that. It's really allowing yourself to trust and to know that when you tune into that angelic, abundant energy that flows through you, it gives you the opportunity to release any attachments that are unconscious, attachments that are heavy or putting a pressure on you that are pulling you out of your heart-centered space. And so that's how I've decoded both the embodiment and my dream share to offer different languaging or interpretation of this energy at play, okay? Also then, personally, I had a vision when I embodied it where it lands at my chart, which is it lands in the 11th house. And I ended up sifting through a serious amount of Akashic records that eventually, anyway, again, this is all symbolic Piscean language in that it's all dreamy conceptual talk. That when I was embodying the state, this is from my personal chart, I had this huge deluge of like a storm of you know, thunder and lightning and water, like this big deluge come pouring down on top of me that was standing on a checkerboard, which relates to a few other past, you know, visions and dream experiences that I've had over the years. And it was the first time that this checkerboard suddenly started to puddle up, and it was like a watercolor, and the black and the white of the checkerboard suddenly just muddled together and dissolved. And so what I took from that was, here we are sifting through the Akashic records, which is our great collective memory. And then the checkerboard is considered the matrix or the actual reality that we live in, whether you want to look at that as someone who's controlling the matrix or the matrix of your own reality that you control. It suddenly started to dissolve, and it was kind of washed away to give a cleansing, a new space for something new to come in. And so that's where we're at. I think that's quite a poignant way of looking at it. It's like we're planting a new seed. Our reality, yes, is shifting collectively and personally. Hold the dream. Expand the dream from a deep inner heart space. Keep the vision. Keep that abundant light from within, pouring out, radiating out to every person you see, every experience that you engage. If it's heavy and hard and an unconscious state that's pushing against you, use that angelic healing that was shared with me. Use it to just pierce through the heart and lift that energy up. You don't have to be overly active about it. Just trust in this process. Pisces, Jupiter, and Neptune is trust. It's abundant compassion. We're planting that seed. That is the seed you need to hold. And it will be a theme that plays out if we keep working on it from an internal perspective. This will really benefit us as the year rolls out. And as next few years that have to come about, they're going to be heavier. You know, you've got Pluto going through the very last few degrees of Capricorn, and then it will shift into Aquarius. That's a big, big change. So we have that energy to play with. So put in the effort, plant the seed of this great dream, and expand it from your heart space so that you are transcending and allowing yourself to really open up, awaken, and live the dream. Live your utopic dream. Bring that into reality. Fill your cup up. See that that is an abundant possibility by opening to trust, by expanding your belief, by aligning with that great consciousness. If that's a star consciousness, if that's an ancient Lemurian consciousness, if that's the Yeshua Christ consciousness, it exists. It exists in you. Believe it and hold it. It's a frequency at the end of the day. And Pisces vibe, it lives off vibes. And so if you keep running with vibes and high quality one, that's what's going to live out. That's what's going to become your reality. All right, before we get into the meditation, I'm going to leave these as slides that you can check yourself to check where is, here we go, we've got Pisces here. Where is the 23 degrees of Pisces playing out in your chart, okay? And so find where 23 degrees Pisces plays it out in your chart, and then you can look here, these are the house systems and the signs. So this slide and the next is giving you a little bit of some of the languaging and wording around, say, if Pisces lands in your fifth house, well, it's playing out with, or, you know, if it's engaging here, it's playing out with this, like, my will, my personal force of playing in, and engaging and sharing your heart with others. You've got all these, again, some words then playing out if it's in the seventh house in terms of pairing with others, ninth house, if it's landing there, it's all about further expansion. So just see where it lands on your chart and peg that out. And you can just literally write it down as in, like, so the Jupiter and Neptune piece in Pisces, you could start with the sentence of expand the dream or any of the other ones that I have shared in this presentation, any of those wordings or themes, start with that, is playing out in the scene of I achieve, if it lands, if Pisces happens to be in your 10th house, is playing out in the scene of I achieve, and perhaps it's linking in with one of your planets, and this is going to communicate deeply with my moon, how I nourish myself, my needs, my feelings, my emotions, okay? And that's how you start to put it together as a sentence so that you can decode the celestial play and how it then impacts you personally, all right? Those of you on my course, The Language of Energy, we can always decode that a little bit further in the Q&As, or reach out, email me, and we can always book in a consultation to go a little bit deeper with this. If it's not hitting in on any planet, don't worry. It's still playing out in a scene of your life. So again, remember that the houses are scenes in your life that will impact you. It doesn't hit on any of my planets as a conjunction, but it plays out in my 11th house. So it's this collective exchange is very active at the moment, which is probably why my dream space is particularly heightened. But again, it's playing out no matter what this is, this energy is connecting to you, okay? And then for some of you, I will see you on Tuesday. We'll be doing, again, an embodiment of this energy on Tuesday the 12th here in the Algarve. It's a cacao and sound healing workshop where we enter into ceremony. We align with these energies. We invoke the energies into our circle space, and we work with healing process collectively in circle. But please, I would love to connect with you in the many other ways through the webinars and online courses, astrology consultations. You can email me, danielle@12thspace.com, or join me for a cacao ceremony here in the Algarve if you're ever visiting. So to just recap and close, we have abundant compassion flooding into our system. So let's align with that energy. It's easy to enter into states of, oh, I want to numb out, and I'm in overwhelm mode. So try to create small boundaries that give yourself the opportunity to emotionally cleanse the overwhelm, provide structure, loose structure that offers the opportunity for you to feel that abundant compassion from within. So whether that's through sleep, whether that's through meditation or time in nature, particularly with the sea, Piscean energy connected with the ocean, or a bath, they will all deeply heal you in this time so that you can then, because sometimes you can't access abundant compassion if you're in numb, overwhelm, inertia. So firstly, focus on getting yourself out of that state. And then tune in to aligning, which we'll do now in meditation, align with this abundant compassion of coexistence of yourself. Firstly, coexistence of you as a spiritual, energetic, empathetic being in reality, in a body, embodying this reality, this timeline, coexisting with your family, with your friends, with your community. We expand our transcendence. We really have an opportunity to spiritually evolve during this time. And it's not just the date on the 12th of April, but it is, it's this whole time. And we can see it flourishing in many different areas. But this is a wonderful time for spiritual evolution and expansion. Open to that trust, live out the dream. Be really aware of the absolute opposite that could be playing out. Be really aware of so many that can just fall for deceit and lies and a charade that just helps them get by because that's more entertaining. Okay, so just be aware, and you're halfway there. but understand that numbing out is something that can really take you to different states, particularly during this time. An overuse of or an abuse of drugs, alcohol, or any type of escapism. And that can be anything, like even escaping your reality through various different practices as well, can be seen as an indulgence of the negative aspect of this quality of this time. So focus on finding your heart center, believing in the divine that exists in you, that exists in all that you are engaging with. Be the heart that heals through this death process. Said it before, we are living through a huge death and destruction phase. We have the potential to be a witness to huge collective destruction, chaos, death of big systems. So be the heart that heals through this death process. Be the eyes that witnesses the rebirth, that holds the vision of rebirth. That's a big thing, okay? We have the potential to just hold the vision, to hold the heart space. That's as much activation that you need to do. You don't have to be out there fighting on the front line. You are fighting from the inside. You are holding that force from the inside, and that is the energy that palpitates out. So be the heart that heals the death, and be the eyes that witness the rebirth. Okay. All right, so we're gonna journey to the beyond. We're gonna head into our meditation now for the last little bit.